Our second reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Hear the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father God, we ask that you would give us your Holy Spirit this morning, your Holy Spirit which inspired these words of Scripture. We pray that that Holy Spirit would be alive and active in us this morning, giving us ears to hear, giving us hearts that are receptive to your truth. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have a very interesting problem here. Give me a moment here. Do you have another draft of my sermon? Yes. Okay. Saturday night, pastors are all dreaming of this moment when they get into the pulpit and they don't have their sermon. All right. And it's happened this morning. I've got something here, but it's the wrong thing. Some of you think that I just make this stuff up. I just stand up here and I make it up. This is not... Now, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit happens on Thursday, not on Sunday morning. Okay, so... There are two sides to those things. This is where the confusion is. Okay. 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1. Give me 2, 10. And I need 2. I need a page 2. That's page 2. Beautiful. Thank you, Pastor Bruno. See? Isn't it a good thing we have an associate pastor?
Yes.
When we baptize or when we dedicate a baby in a Presbyterian church, one of the questions that we ask of the parents during the ceremony is, do you receive this child as a gift and as a blessing from God? Do you receive this child as a gift and as a blessing from God? What kind of parent would say, no, this child isn't a gift, this child isn't a blessing, this child is costing me a lot of money, this child is cramping my style, this child is keeping me awake at night, this child is a pain in my neck. Plus, I never planned on having this child. This child's a mistake. What kind of parent would say that? I hope that all of us receive any children we have as gifts and as blessings from God. And I don't mean that in some kind of sentimental way. I mean that quite objectively and literally. A gift is something valuable that we don't buy or we pay for. And a blessing is something that's given to us that's for our good. Now keep in mind, not every gift is a blessing. Not every gift is a blessing. If you give me a big chocolate cake, I will eat it and I will enjoy it. But it will not be good for me. It will just make me fatter than I already am. The chocolate cake is a gift, but it is not a blessing. Now I hope that all of us receive our children as a gift and a blessing from God. And I hope all of us understand that no child is a mistake.
Amen.
Today we read Judges chapter 13, the first of four chapters about Samson. Samson is probably the most famous of all of the judges. I think most people, even people who don't go to church, know the name Samson. They know that he's some kind of strong man from the ancient world. If you were to walk up to a random person in Philadelphia and ask them if they had ever heard of these people, Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jair, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, and Samson, probably Samson is the one that they would have heard of. Maybe Gideon, maybe Deborah. Pastor Bruno and I are going to spend a few weeks preaching about Samson. And I want us to think seriously about this man and dig deeply into his story. Everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Nothing is wasted. Samson is the judge in the book of Judges who gets the most space. 4 chapters, 96 verses. Why such a long story? Shamgar is a great name. He sounds like a Marvel superhero. But he gets only one verse. Is Samson 96 times more important than Shamgar? Maybe. This coming week, I want to encourage each of you to read ahead in the book of Judges. Go through chapter 16 to get the whole story of Samson in your mind. You will be reminded that Samson was so strong that he killed a lion with his bare hands. You will be reminded that Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. You will be reminded that Samson's hair, that when his hair was cut, his strength left him. And the Philistines pulled out his eyes and put him in chains like an animal. And you will be reminded that Samson died by using his strength to push apart the pillars supporting the roof of the Philistine temple. And the roof came crashing down on him and on the Philistines who were gathered there. It's a wild and a fascinating story, and it does deserve our attention. But today, I just want to talk about Samson's parents. In verses 2 and 3, we read, there was a man whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. A barren woman, an angel, a miraculous birth. What does this remind you of? Maybe it reminds you of the Lord appearing to Abraham and telling him that Sarah, his barren 90-year-old wife, was going to have a child. That child we know is Isaac. Maybe it reminds you of the angel of the Lord appearing to Zechariah, telling him that his old and barren wife, Elizabeth, would give birth to a son. That son we know as John the Baptizer. Or maybe it reminds you of the angel appearing to the Virgin Mary to tell her that she would bear a son who one day would save his people. We know that son is Jesus. There are only a handful of stories in the Bible about births announced by God or by his angels. And one of those stories is about Samson. In verse 5, the angel says to Samson's mother, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child will be a Nazarite from God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about Samson is that God has a plan and a purpose or a mission for this boy. He shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. God says this about the boy even before the boy is born. Now, I believe God has a plan and a purpose for each child. In Huntington Valley Presbyterian Church, this past year, 4 babies were born. Pastor Bruno and I are giving instructions that we expect 5 in the coming year. I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for each of those children. In that sense, Samson's birth is no more special than the birth of any other child. But maybe some of you think that, well, you know, there are ordinary children, and then there are extraordinary children that God has special plans for. In the case of Samson, God makes it perfectly clear that he is involved in this birth. The boy is born to a barren woman. The conception of the child is surrounded by is announced by an angel. And the angel tells the mother what the plans and the purpose or the mission for her child will be. He shall begin to save Israel from the hands of the Philistines. So how do we know that what is true of Samson is also true of our own children. Yeah, of course, God had a special plan and a purpose for Samson. But how do I know that God has a special plan and a special purpose for my children? How do I know that God has a special plan and a special purpose for every child born into this church? Well, I know that because that's what the Bible teaches. For example, in Psalm 139, we read, "You made me all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's wombs. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know that. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Every day of my life was recorded in God's book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Well, sure, that's what we call providence. Jesus said, "What is the price of 5 sparrows? Well, it's about 2 copper pennies. And yet God does not forget a single one of these sparrows, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows." God knows the number of hairs on your head. God knows what's going on in your life. God knows your immigration status. And all of the days in your life are recorded already in God's book. Remember what God says to the Israelites. They're living in exile. They're not at home. They're in Babylon, making the best of their circumstances. He says, "I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for good and not for disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Those plans were not made by man. Those plans were made by God. Those plans were made before they were accomplished. Those plans were made before they actually came to pass. But nothing can stand in the way of God's plan for our lives. And so why should I be surprised if God has plans for us? If God knew even when we were being formed in our mother's wombs, if God knows the number of hairs on our heads, why should I be surprised that God has a purpose and a plan not only for Samson, but that God has a purpose and a plan for every child who's been born into this congregation? Every time we see a child in this church, every time we hold a baby in this church, every time you hear the voice of a child in worship in the sanctuary, every time you hear a baby cry, and I love it when babies cry in the course of my preaching, every time you see a baby in this church, you should think to yourself, that child is a gift from God. That child is a blessing from God. God has a plan for that child. I hear his voice. God has a plan for that voice that I hear. God has a purpose and a mission in that child's life. And then you should be a little bit curious. You should think to yourself, I wonder what God's plans are for Ana Luisa. I wonder what God's purposes for Olavo will be. Because God has a plan for that girl. And God has a plan and a mission for that boy. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, if God has a plan and a purpose for every child, parents should ask themselves, what do I need to do to get my child ready for God's plan and God's purposes? In Judges 13:8, we hear Samson's father, Manoah, pray to God, and he says, "O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us so that we know what to do with the child who will be born." Manoah learned that his barren wife was to have a child, and that God had a plan and a mission for that child. And so even before the child was born, Manoah is praying to God and asking that a messenger of God be sent to him to teach him what they are to do in raising that child. That's a great prayer. That's a prayer every father should be praying. God, teach me what to do with my kids. Teach me what to do with this son that you've given me. Teach me how I should raise this daughter who is a blessing. Teach me how to be a good father. Teach me what I am to do with this child. The Bible is full of instruction about how to raise children. And if you are in a Bible-believing church, you should hear about how to be a good parent. One passage that jumps to mind is Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, as a father, I love the first part of that scripture passage. Children, obey me, for this is right. And if you obey me, you will live long in my house. I like that Bible verse. But Paul marries that verse with the next verse. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. That verse I do not like at all. Because that verse tells me that if my child is provoked to anger, that it is my fault. That I'm not doing what I am supposed to be doing. Notice that Paul sets two things in opposition. One, do not provoke your child to anger. And two, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. In other words, your children may become angry with you, but it's not because you have been bringing them up in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. The discipline of the Lord is truth that is spoken in love, with tenderness and with tears. The discipline of the Lord is not shouting or angry words or cruel coldness or fits of rage. For a lot of us fathers, it is easier to shout our angry words than it is for us to instruct our children with love and tenderness and a broken heart. Paul, in case you think Paul, this might have been a one-off, Paul says pretty much the same thing in another passage in Colossians. Paul writes, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Every child is a gift and a blessing from God. And God has a plan and a purpose for every child. That means that we as parents need to pray to God and say, send me someone to teach me how to raise this child. And that prayer will be answered in a Bible preaching church. God caused a barren woman to give birth to Samson, and God used Samson to begin to save his people. I believe that God's plans and purposes for your children are just as important as his plans and purposes were for Samson. Amen. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this testimony of your activity amongst your people and so many years ago. And we thank you for the instruction from Brother Paul. Lord, we pray that the truth of your scripture, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would find root in our lives. I pray that we would be not just hearers of the word, but also doers. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.